summer. I'd write a poem on a noble key, and I'd sing the story and praise the glory of that wondrous project, the Shannon Scheme. In Bally Alley, neat Oak and Sally, I sat me down and I dreamed a dream of more employment and more enjoyment and happier homes through the Shannon Scheme. 'Twill light our houses, 'twill stitch our blouses, 'twill milk our cows, and 'twill churn the cream. 'Twill reap and mow, sir, 'twill spin and sew, sir, this wondrous project, the Shannon Scheme. In boats and barges, as wide and large as the Grecian Argus, that ship of fame, and from all Port Rosser to Killaloosor, the slates will come through the Shannon Scheme. So lads and lasses, fill high your glasses and drink a toast to that noble scheme, and praise those statesmen, those wise and brave men who boldly tackled the Shannon Scheme.
I hear the cannon rattle, sure, my boy, we must beware. I hear the trumpet sound, sure, we can no longer stay. We're on the road to Portsmouth for me there and mine, to cut down the blacks and negroes on the banks of the Nile. You're the Johnny, lovely Johnny, no, from me you will not go. The path along your journey is the cause of all my woe. My path along your journey is the parting of me life. For stay at home, dear journey, no, and I shall be your wife. You're the Nancy, lovely Nancy, no, sure things would never do. How currently give all the room, all women there must go. We must forsake our own sweet hearts, like my own native isle, and go once more to battle to the banks of the Nile. And I'll cut off my yellow locks, and a soldier suit put on, just like a gallant soldier brave, although they march along. I'll fight and fall your banner, while fortune fears to smile, and we'll go once more to battle to the banks of the Nile. Now your fingers there too slender, and your waist it is too small. I fear you'll not answer soon, and you they may call. Your delicate constitution would not bear that in wholesome clime, and the hot and sandy deserts from the banks of the Nile. And my course may at in the war, and the hours first began. For many the young Irish lads, whom Ireland now is gone, now taken from their old sweethearts, like wild their native isle, and their bodies had spared those wild ones on the banks of the Nile. Sure now the war is over, and home they can return. Back to their friends and to go, let's come on. När så har vann min där om den skiljs och slins av tröjm. Han går no more, så vart det to the lines. Oh, den har hjälp. No, that's a few.
It's some story I'm passing on with the son all the time. In the composition that was done that time, or the poets that was in that time, they had the real stuff for to compose their song. They had some story in it. In today's poets, there is no story in it but the one thing over and over and over again. But that time they had the real story for to start up the song, and the same with the song that I'm after singing there, the fair maiden in her father's garden. Well, that happens sometimes, surely. Michael Hayes happened. The Christmas letter, as I say, all the more traditional stuff. That our mother that got her letter for Christmas from her family. All these things happened. It was right tradition down along, it was a story of something that happened. See, it is all a story. The Cullen Bond there again is a story handed down that happened. There was a rich farmer's daughter near Limerick town to dwell. She was modest, fair, and handsome, and her parents loved her well. She was admired by lords and squires, but all their hopes were vain. She had but one, a farmer's son, young Mary's heart would gain. Long time young Will he courted her and pined in the wedding day. Her parents they did give consent, but the brothers they did say, there is a lord who pledged his word, and him you will not shun, for we'll betray and we will slay your constant farmer son. There was a fair not far from there, the brothers went straight away, and asked young Willie's company, he waited them to pass the day. The day being gone, the night came on, they said his race was run, and 'twas with two sticks that life did take away the constant farmer's son. As on her pillows Mary lay, she had a dreadful dream. She dreamed she saw her room through love lying in yon crystal stream. Mary arose, put on her clothes, to seek her love she ran. What was dead and cold, she didn't behold her constant farmer son. The tears rolled down her ruby cheeks, all mingled with his gold. And to relieve her troubled heart, she kissed him o'er and o'er. She gathered green leaves from the trees to shade him from the sun. Since that night and day, she passed away with her constant farmer son. Hunger, it came on her, and she went with bitter warm. And to find out the murderer, she straightway home did go home.
Oh, parents dear, you soon will hear of this dreadful deed that's done. For in yonder vale lies cold and pale my constant farmer son. Up comes the eldest brother and swore it was not he. The same reply the youngest gave, but swore more bitterly. But Mary said, now don't ye run, or shun the deed that's done. You have done the deed, and you will swing for my constant farmer son. Those being soon, they own the guilt, and for the same did I. The doctors guards their body is for to practice by him. But Mary's thoughts both night and day on her dead love did run. In the madhouse cell poor Mary dwells for her constant farmer son.
It was early on a bright harvest morning, I strayed by the banks of Ceylon to gaze on the beauties of nature that grace every woodland and lawn. Their prospect was surely entrancing, as gay lassies in juvenile bloom promenaded by the banks of that river that flows near the town of Macroom. I be airy and fond of recreation to the riverside I venture to roam. Till weary of my ramblings and rovings, I sat myself down by a grove. I sat there some time meditating, till the sun, her bright red, had withdrawn, and a damsel of queenly appearance came down by the banks of Ceylon. I arose with great joy and emotion, and accosted his vision so fair, who appeared unto me like a Venus, adorned with jewels most rare. Well, I ruler of France or of Prussia, sure 'tis with me you'd soon wear the crown, and I join you in wedlock my darling. You're the beauty and sweet Massytown. We walked and we talked on together, inhaling the bright, pleasant air, until in a voice unaffected, she says, "See, my father lives there. His presence to me was appalling. With his cross angry looks and his frown that pierced through my heart like an arrow, on my way down to sweet Massytown. But now I'm retired from my rovings with a heart full of sorrow and grief. There is no one on earth to console me or to give me a moment's relief. I will rove through the African desert until death summons me to my tomb. For the sake of my charming fair Helen that I met in the town of Macroom.
A bank appear went out one night in duty and patrolling up. He spied a ghost upon the road and took her to be a stroller. With Benatrix he sallied forth and took her by the wisdom. And then he swore a mighty oath, he cast her up to prison. He hid a la 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 la. Oh, mercy, sir, the god replied, and let me tell me story, oh, for I'm no rogue, no ribbon man, no crappy Whig or Tory, oh, for I'm not guilty of any crime, or pecy, or high treason, oh, I'm badly wanted at the time, for this is the milking season, oh. Let the consequence be what it will, appeal as power I let you know. I'll handcuff you at all events and march you up to Bridewell. And sure you're wrong, you can't deny before the judge or jury. Intimidation with your horns and threatening me with fury. This parish and this neighborhood is all peaceable and tranquil. There's no disturbance here, thank God, and long may it continue so. And as far you are off, I don't regard a pin or sign for my commissal. My jury will be gentlemen and grant me my acquittal.
My name is Patrick Sheehan, and my years are 34. Tipperary is my native place, not far from Galtymore. I've come of honest parents, but now they're lying low, and many the happy day I spent in the glen of Allow. My father died, I closed his eyes outside our cabin door. The landlord and the sheriff too were dead the day before. And then my loving mother and sisters three also were forced to go with broken hearts from the glen of Allow. For 3 long months in search of work, I wandered far and near. I went into the poorhouse to see my mother dear. The news I held may broke my heart, but still in all my woe, I bless the friends who made their graves in the glen of Allow. Bereft of home, of kith and kin, and plenty all around, I starved within my cabin, I slept upon the ground. But cruel as my lot was, I ne'er did hardship know, till I joined the English army far away from Allow. Arise up, says the corporal, you lazy Irish hound. Why don't you hear your sleepy dog the call to arms sound? Alas, I have been dreaming of days long, long ago. I awoke before the best of all and not in Allow. I groped to find my mouse good, how dark I thought the night. Oh, blessed God, it is not dark, it is the broad daylight. And when I found that I was blind, my tears began to flow. I longed for even a pauper's grave in the glen of Allow. Oh, blessed Virgin Mary, mine is a mournful tale. A poor blind prisoner here I am in Dublin's dreary jail. Struck blind within the trenches where I never feared the fall. And now I'll never see again my own sweet Allow. A poor neglected mendicant, I wander through the streets. My 9 months pension now been out, I beg from all I meet. As I join my country's tyrants, my face I'll never show. Among the kind of neighbors in the glen of Allow. Now Irish youths, dear countrymen, take heed of what I say. For if you join the English ranks, you'll surely rue the day. And if ever you attempted a soldiering to go, remember poor blind Sheehan from the glen of Allow.
There was a rich squire in Thomas Town Clare, who courted a nobleman's daughter that was handsome and fair. And to discourse with her it was his intent, his friends and relations they all gave consent. The day was appointed, a wedding to be. The young farmer was chosen, the groomsman to be. But as soon as the lady The farmer she spied, "You're my charming, my lover and my darling," she cried. She turned from the squire, but nothing had said, till at length they were married, she retired to her bed. But the thoughts of the farmer still ran in her mind, and a plan for to gain him she quickly did find. In a waistcoat and jacket this lady put on, as she went hunting with her dog and her gun. She kept coursing all day where the fine farmer dwelled, because in her heart she loved him right well. She often had fired, but nothing had killed, till at length the young farmer came into the field. And to discourse with him it was her intent, with her dog and her gun for to meet him she went. "I thought you were at the wedding," the lady replied, "to wait on the squire and to give him his bride." "Ah, no," said the farmer, "I take sword in hand for the honour to gain her my wife at command." And the lady was glad when she heard him speak so bold. She gave him her glove all embroidered with gold, saying, "I found it as I was coming along, as I was hunting with my dog and my gun." The lady went home with her heart full of love. She sent out public notices that she lost her glove, and whoever shall find it and bring it to me, and if it's a mankind it's married we'll be. The farmer was glad when he heard the great news, and unto the fair one he instantly goes, saying, "Humble fair one, I have found your glove, and will you be so kind as to grant me your love?" "It's already granted," the lady replied. "I have the young farmer," she earnestly cried. "I'll be mistress of my dairy, and I'll make my own cows, while the jolly young farmer whistles after the plough." And when she was married, she told all the fun, how she went to hunt the farmer with her dog and her gun. "But now, as I have him quite fast in the snare, I love him forever, I vow and declare."
It being in the month of May, when the birds were young again, I took a stroll down by the con in the morning. It was there I spied a maid, and she sitting in a shade, and I asked her if I'd wind her ball of yarn. "Oh, no kind sir," she said, "you're a stranger unto me, and perhaps you might have any other darling. Oh, now, my lovely miss, take a warning unto this, keep your hand on your little ball of yarn." In the middle of the green, where I knew I wouldn't be seen, I didn't intend to do her any harm. I put my hand around her waist, then I gently laid her down, and began to wind her little ball of yarn. 9 months came to pass, sure I met this lovely lass. She was carrying little triplets in her arms. Said I, "My lovely miss, take a warning unto this, keep your hand upon your little ball of yarn."
Well, now, my friends, the hour has come when I must say adieu. My lonely heart is filled with grief to think on parting you. Farewell and to my comrade girls, some old, some young and gay. Oh, often did I roam with them around the hills of care. Now I must leave my native home, my parents fond and true. My sister dear, with weeping heart, I bid farewell to you. Farewell and to my comrade girls, some old, some young and gay. Oh, often did I roam with them around the hills of Clare. Now I must leave my native land, the land that gave me birth, where oftentimes I passed away the hours in joy and mirth, amongst those few and trusty friends, with whom none can compare. Likewise the ever-smiling maids that roam the hills of Clare. In days long past I often cast a thought when here alone upon those lands whose Saxon's bands should fly from out our home. But now at last these days are past, there is nothing left but care. The day will come when four like one will roam the hills of Clare. Farewell, you groves and shady hills. Swear often times.